That could be the Lord. And I'm looking to you men to begin developing some of these things. I don't need to encourage Georgianne and Martha and Ruth and, you know, these others, because they're ready to go. They have their words. They're ready to, you know, they're eager for manifestations. Perhaps too eager. But the fault does not lie with them. It lies with you, because you're not giving your word. So I encourage you this morning, just give a word. You know, if you don't have one, don't give one. But you should come prepared to give a word. Like I say, it can be real brief. You don't have to say, well, I've never spoken public. And, you know, it's not that kind of thing. Just get up and say, I just think the Lord is saying he's pleased with us, and sit down. You don't have to say, my little children, the Lord is oh so pleased with us. You know, you don't have to do all that. Just, you know, if you don't get that form of words, just stand up and say, I'm pleased. You know, I think God's pleased. You know, just say it in your tone of voice, in your way. Now, there's nothing wrong with a person getting up and putting it in the King James, or quivering or shaking and so on and so forth. But it doesn't mean it's from God any more than yours is. Okay? Did I encourage you enough? I mean, what I'm doing is I believe God wants me to encourage you men to get up. We haven't heard a man for, you know, months. Bill and David are the only two men we've almost heard. We need to hear more of our men. Just get up and share scripture. All you have to do is open the Bible. You know, you can do it even at the last minute. What if you're not prepared and you come at the last minute? You can even do it at the last minute, you know. You can just, in fact, you can just open your thing if you want to and look at it. Oh, I got here. Look what I got. I got the outline. You know? So I would assume that was not from God. But had I not hit an outline, you know, I righteous judgments endure forever. That probably would not be a good word to share. I probably wouldn't have shared that one. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, don't be so spiritual about the whole thing. Just share a scripture that's meaningful to you, something that jumps out to you. All right. Now, I want to share this morning something that I've shared before, but I'm going to share it in a stronger way, because I feel if I have anything to share, and if anything I have not communicated, is this. Yet, it is the one thing I want to communicate. And if you would write this down, because there's no way, I just do not believe there's any way you could understand what I'm saying this morning in all its fullness. Yet, this forms my whole understanding. If I am wrong, this is where I'm wrong. And if I'm right, this is where I'm right. If this is weird and strange and different, then I don't care. But if it's not biblical, then I care. I doubt any church is going to teach what I'm about to tell you. I just don't think it's being taught. Now, I'm going to talk about the balance of the whole Christian life. I think there's missing elements everywhere. Every time I examine one of the speakers on radio or television or even locally in the city here, it seems to me they come up short in a major area, if not four major areas. And usually it's four or five, but even among those that are, you know, more. And I want to point out where I think the really different points are, not to say, well, we're smart, we know it all. I don't think that. I just think it's ordinary stuff. But I don't think it's been preached. Like, I've never heard Dave Wilkerson preach on joy. You know, I think Dave Wilkerson's quite a prophet, but he lacks joy. You know, so holiness, holiness, holiness. Yeah, but what about joy? Now, I'm just saying, for all of his holiness message, if he doesn't have the joy, Paul did. Paul was a prophet too. I don't think he's fully balanced then. So I'm not being critical, I'm just stating a fact. He's missing, any believer could do what I just did. This takes no great judgment on my part. He just doesn't have all the verses. I don't want to hear just holiness, holiness, holiness. Of course that's a part of it, and a major part of it, and missing in so many others. But then he shouldn't then just do that and major in one thing. At least here in the local church, I don't care what Dave does. Ken Copeland hardly preaches on holiness. But praise God, he has been a little bit lately. So I would fault him less. But only because of what I just said is anybody can look and say, here are the full dimensions. He doesn't have these three, or if he's low on these three. Well, now, if you want to judge anyone, or me, or yourself, this is what I think you ought to judge according to this setup. And I have taught on this several times, but I know that I've not communicated this because I can tell the way the church is functioning. We're not thinking like this at all. So it may take you 2 years to think on what I'm going to tell you. But take the 2 years then, because this is good news. See, some people say, you're too good. I mean, the message is too good. And I expect that. I expect people to say that. That's the same thing they said of Jesus. You know, the Pharisees hated that guy. He was too good. He was making God too easy. And they would have accused him then of, you know, some whore. They threw a whore down in front of him. He didn't even condemn him. He didn't even stone him. He should have at least kicked dirt in her face or something. He didn't. In fact, he did the opposite. He accused the accusers and let her go free. That doesn't seem like he knows what holiness is all about. And you'd have to say, Jesus is not into holiness. That's not true, though. On and on. Yeah. Or, on the other hand, some people say the opposite of me. They say, you're always preaching holiness and you condemn me. Praise God. You know, you're not going to please anybody. You know, but at least you ought to know. I mean, I have failed if I haven't communicated to you that this thing is balanced. It's rich. And if I'm out of balance, I don't mind. I'm not proud. I'll just say, you know, you're right. I'm out of balance. But I'm close. And I know I've looked at the Bible over and over and over again in all these things. And I believe there are no diminishing dimensions. But it doesn't matter. I don't care if there is. I'll take it today. If you found one that I don't have, I'll put it in. But we need to have this full, rich understanding. So here it goes.
First of all, salvation. And I would appreciate it if you could kind of do it this way, just because it's kind of a visual thing, and I can lay it out better this way. Seven little circles.
You could make it into a person if you wanted, even, you know, and so on. But I'm going to do it this way for visual purposes. I'm just going to put a word down, another scripture down for each one so that you can have it down. So just make something like that. And then I'm going to put Roman numeral 1, Roman numeral 2, and Roman numeral 3. This is just the visual part, you know, the skeleton. And then I'm going to put, then I'm going to make this one number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5, number 6, and number 7. And I consider that the whole counsel of God, those seven circles. And it's so easy to divide this thing and see where everybody is. And you could lay out the whole church today. You know, here's Dave Wilkerson right here. You know, here's Ken Copeland on the drug. You can do it. And here are the mystics down here. You know, and you can get them all. But they're wrong if they don't have everything. Here are the Baptists. You know, here's the evangelicals that are into body life. You know, on and on and on. Do each of them. Here are most of the. Okay, now the first one then is salvation. And I'm going to say salvation with repentance. Because I think Norman Grubb almost has salvation without repentance. Almost. All of this is just balanced talk. I'm not, everybody's a Christian. I'm not talking about Christianity. But it's a bit dangerous that somehow you get into this thing so cheaply, they call it easy believism. That people have never really died. I mean, somehow people have gotten into the church by the hordes, and they've never really experienced a real salvation with repentance, that is, that they're dead to this world. I'm always amazed that, you know, when somebody sees something and it's clearly in the Word, there's no argument about it, that they'll still, I don't care, you know. Well, praise the Lord, I mean, a guy can do that, but That's when I got into this thing, I realized I was a dummy. I didn't know anything. Some people, though, they still think I don't know what they understand. You know, didn't you repent of your mind and of your will? Some people think after they become a Christian, they can will their way to success. You know, I will get up at 6 every morning or something. Of course you have a will. But maybe that's a fresh will. Didn't you die to your will and to your mind and to your emotions and to your behavior and to your everything? You know, well,
really right there, I could say, and that's why Galatians was written, Galatians 3:1.
It says, "Oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You started out in the spirit, you started out in faith, now you're ending up in the flesh, you're ending up in works." That's why we outline that. That's a problem. How did you get saved in the first place? I mean, you know, what are you doing with it? So he wrote that to them because he knew they were saved and they did repent. Hopefully that letter did the trick. But if it didn't, then I really wonder if they were saved. I really wonder. He says in another place, you know, if you were really born again, you know, if you really did get salvation, because you should be dead to this world. Somebody insults you, I can imagine you'd hit him back or insult him back or something like that. That just shows you're immature. But at least you ought to know theologically you did wrong. I mean, you ought to realize you're a dead man. Even if you didn't act dead, you ought to at least know you are dead. And you ought to be able to go home and say, "Now something's wrong here. I shouldn't have done that," or something like that. You know, you may mess up all over the place. That's just immaturity. But at least you know, if somebody insults you, you're a dead man. Who cares if somebody insults you? There's no condemnation except all kinds of verses. So,
that's the first thing is, I see that we're against all those that have kind of an easy believism. You know, where you just get in because you're baptized when you're a little kid or something like that. And it doesn't mean anything to you. You know, that's not Christianity. Just to say, "I'm saved, God loves me."
Well, usually the people don't even say that, because that would be quite a commitment even to say that. So often they can't even say those words or won't say them. They say, "I'm a church member." You know, they just avoid judiciously talking about the Savior. You know, it's just a cheap thing.
And Jesus faced it too. He had the same thing. All right. The next thing then is, and this is all we call growth through meditation, personal growth through meditation. Or just put down that word if you want. Or just put down the road. The words are important. But this is your walk. This is your person here. This out here, actually, this would be your inner character. This is your outer walk over here. This is your fruit. So this is inner development. This is outer work. Now, this first one here is the unconditional love of God. And I'm just... I'm just going to write that down. Unconditional love. Now, most Christians that I know do not have this. They do not understand.
And I don't mean just in their heads. But I mean to meditate on it so they have it, that no matter what they do. Now, Neil Gillespie is getting it. I know he's getting it. No, really, you are getting it, Neil. Bill, a little bit, but not fully all the way yet. That there's no condemnation, no guilt.
The unconditional love of God, no condemnation, and no guilt. Now, this is what makes Norman Grubb's ministry effective, and Malcolm Smith. Because their only message is grace. But they use that word, and they only mean by it, and this is all they mean by it, is mercy. And grace means much more than mercy. But that's why Malcolm Smith and the Union Life, you've heard of the Union Life group, Dan Stone, Norman Grubb, whom we're going to have next month. We're going to have him on the 1st of November or something. He's going to be here. But love them. They're great guys. And they're really super at this level right here.
Ken Copeland has this also. No condemnation, no guilt. Most of the charismatics are kind of there. No condemnation and guilt. Not all of them, but Ken is real strong there. Pagan, they'd be strong there in song. But I'm not saying that's the only place they're strong, but they major strongly on that.
But they add a second part. Call this part A. They also add a part B. I'm sorry if my numbers get mixed up there. That's part A under one. And part B is all the rights and privileges. Rights and privileges. Now, Norman Grubb does not talk about this. He only talks about no condemnation and no guilt. But he does not talk about divine health. He does not talk about prosperity. He is definitely not into that. He doesn't care about that stuff at all. And many other things that God will do for you without holiness, which is number two. You don't have to have any holiness to be well, or to be prosperous, or to have no guilt and condemnation. Just the minute you're born again, you can start entering into rest. This is what you could call this whole thing, rest here. No work. You don't have to do a thing. You didn't, in the first place, get saved by doing anything, and you're not going to grow by doing anything either. Now that seems then too easy, too cheap, too good. But remember, it's only stage one. In stage two, you do something. But before you do anything, you got to do nothing. You've got to let God so love you that no matter what you do or don't do, you know that He loves you. And that is not known, I have to say, in this church too. It's not known. They have not even gotten to first base. Because let's assume that we've got this. You know, you can't always assume it, but I assume, I don't think there's anybody in our body that did that, although sometimes I wonder, you know, when a person doesn't show much depth. But I'm assuming it's here, so we're working along this line. And by the way, it'll show up after a while, like litmus paper. It'll show up. If you start working down the line, you find out where a person's bogging down. Maybe they're bogging down the whole way. You know, maybe the whole, you know, you can fake a lot of this stuff.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
But I know. You know why I know? Because I got the real thing. You can spot a counterfeit only if you know the real thing. The average person couldn't spot a counterfeit because they don't know the real thing. But these treasury experts, you know, they can look at a bill that quick and they can see right away that there's this or there's that. And then under closer examination, they can determine it for sure. But right away, they can spot something that looks fishy just on the surface. Well, you can't tell in the beginning whether it's really fishy or whether it's just, you know, some kind of a small flaw. All right? So the first thing here is just rest. And most of the people in our body have never got to step one. So I would say most of our people, I call this the technon stage, are not even technons. I mean, they haven't finished the technon stage. They're technons. Most of the believers in our body are technons. They're too eager to go on to holiness, which means they're going to fall into legalism. If you skip this step, then you move right from salvation into legalism. If you stay here like Norman Grubb does not move on, then you've got some junk. I mean, it's not going to be any good. Then you stay drunk all the time or stay a mess, and you say, but God loves me anyway. You know, that's just cheap. And Norman himself does not live that way. Norman has a richness to his life. But his teaching, because what he found was so good. And he's right, because he's right. He's hitting well over 90% of the Christians. He is correct. But he's only correct, and he doesn't know this. He's only correct because he's hitting the base here. Because this is where a lot of people get hung up, right? The doorway. And we have shown, by the way, that this is like the temple. I can do this real simple. Repentance is the gate here. That's how you get in. We call it number one, salvation. And then the outer court, one, two, three. This works exactly the same. Outer court is everything God's done for me. Unconditional love. I don't do anything. No guilt. There's out there the cross, Calvary, the blood, all that kind of stuff. Wash. It's all free. Free, free, free. I don't do anything. Then in here, we as priests, this is people, this is priests, we begin to minister unto the Lord. We grow in holiness. We become overcomers. Then in here, you become a worshiper, which is number three. You really learn to know God. Now, we're talking about walk here. We're not talking, you can, from day one, you can walk on in and worship God. You do. But your walk isn't going to be there. But after a while, you're going to come to know God so closely that you won't even pay attention to no guilt and condemnation. I mean, it won't blow you away, nor to sin. You won't even be sin conscious anymore. I mean, you won't even be wrestling with it. Now, just because Ken Copeland teaches no guilt and condemnation doesn't mean his people are all holy. Indeed, they're not. They're just learning no guilt and no condemnation. And they're learning all their rights and privileges, which are not conditional. These things are unconditional, only faith. All you have to do is believe it. If you don't believe it, though, you don't get it. And I see a lot of people are trying to get these things just by naming, claiming, and framing. It's not going to work. You have to meditate. Now, Ken does teach this, and Marilyn Hickey and Al Capps and all these people, they do teach this, but the people don't pick it up. They don't pick up the meditation part. They only pick up the fruit part. I can be well. I can have a Cadillac. You know, I can do this. I can do that. Well, they're not teaching it wrong. The people are just not hearing. And believe me, it takes a miracle to hear. Now, they're responsible for that. But from what I've heard from Kenny, he probably knows it. Probably trying to deal with it now. They were probably just preaching for a long time so they didn't fall back into legalism. That's what they were afraid of.
they were afraid of falling in legalism, so they preach a little bit probably too strong. Well, I can excuse that. As long as they know what the secret is. The secret is, make sure you're knowing God. See, all of this is knowing God. All of this is making him know. All of this is knowing him for yourself. So this whole, another way of saying this is the God side of it, is knowing him. And this side over here is making him know. That's the whole of the Christian walk. Making him know. Alright. Now, I said here you could go right on through. You can walk back out too. Because the first thing here is no guilt and condemnation. Rest. God's done it all. The next thing is you do a bunch. You become an overcomer. You actually pick up now. Now that you know you can't do it, now you do it. It sounds like an enigma, but it's not. What I'm telling you is the God's truth. It's exactly what Scripture tells. Is get the rest, then you do the fighting. It's strange. You're ready, but you see, it's killing the flesh. You know, just when you think you can do nothing, that's when you can do it. When you realize you have no strength, then he's your strength. When you have no wisdom, then he's your wisdom, and so on and so forth. So now I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. But the biggest thing is not even doing all that. The biggest thing is not developing your character. The biggest thing is, let's keep going on. We got four more things yet. Coming to know him, to worship him. I would say there are very few, again, in our church that really are dealing with God. They're looking at people. They're looking at themselves. They're looking at, you know, situations. They're worrying about Cadillacs or holiness or, you know, whether they look as good as some brother or sister or something. They don't have their eyes on God. They're not really worshipers of God. That is the ultimate immaturity, is to know him so much that these things come automatically. In other words, you've earned your stripes. By now you're a general. You started out as a private and, you know, or something. Now you're a general. But this is such a close, intimate walk, is that you've got the rest down. You've got the work down. But now you're just spending your time before the Lord. But I don't mean you're always in the closet. See, there's where you get the mystics. That's weird. You know, this mystic stuff. You know, there's a lot of people that are, like I say, for 4 hours. And, you know, they're so spiritual. You know, that's junk. I don't believe in any of that. I believe that's junk. I have spent time like that. I've been in the presence of God like that. And you can be visibly moved and so on. But don't build a booth over it. You know, don't go back and say, I was with God the other night. And so on. Just tell it. I was with God the other night. And, you know, just be normal. Don't make it so everyone thinks they've got to go and do that. You know, that's what Peter was going to do, you know, on that mountain. That transfiguration, he was going to take pictures of it. And, you know, and, you know, everybody. So, don't do that. Yeah, so that mystical stuff that the Catholics have so developed. You see, all it is, that's flesh. The flesh loves to be this, it loves to be this, and it loves to be this. You know, you don't have to be born again to do this kind of stuff. You know, you can find this in other religions. They got mystics, you know, sit in the cave, you know, legs folded and so on. You know, you can do it through LSD. You can get into all this stuff. It's called meditation. But it's sick. And much of Christian stuff is sick too, when they quiver with their voices and so on, because it's not God. You know, I'm not saying it never is God. But the way you tell is over the long run, not over the one thing they share. Yeah, it could be that they'd shake and quiver and say a thing. You know, that's okay. There's a lot of weird stuff in the Bible. But it isn't the normal thing, you know? I mean, every time Elijah did something, he didn't do weird stuff. Sometimes those prophets did weird stuff, though. But then they came back to normal. In other words, God is, I think what he's trying to do is say, you people are not as far from me as you think you are. Don't make it so spiritual. I'm on an all-out war against religion, if you can tell. Because I think that's what's messing us up. You know, now we have a religious group. We're not into the apathetic group and so on and so forth. You know, basically we're religious. Now let's not be flaky. And that's what happens if you don't get the rest. And just enjoy yourself. This is just little kids enjoying themselves. Most of you have never shouted. Even among you, we've talked about all those things. You still have never shouted. I want to hear sometime a big gusto shout, you know. Praise God. Now others of you shout too much, you know. You go on and on, you know. Chuck, you know, he's so excited now. He's stupid, you know. But it's exciting if you know where he's come from. That the guy's been, his dad's a judge. He's been uptight his whole life. He's been a legalist of the highest degree. Well, then I can understand why, for him, he's a little weird right now. But he is weird. But it's all right, because little children do say funny, weird things, but it, you know, they're kids, so you don't mind. But he knows that he's not mature, and he knows that holiness is low right now. He's just enjoying himself. So it's okay. As long as we understand where a person is, then we know they're going to go on eventually. They're not going to keep doing that, so we can allow a little excess there. You know, people did that in Jesus' day too. The guy leapt up and shouted and jumped and the pigs went in the thing. Oh, that's okay. That's not a standard way of life. Let's not make that your walk. Just do that long enough and then let's go on. And at times we all do that. God wants you to be childlike. You know, too many of us are too sophisticated. We need to remember sometimes to get down with our kids. That's why we have children, I think, so we get down on the ground again and goo with them and just rattle and stuff like that. All of us have it in us. I don't care if you're a grandfather. You know what it's like to get down there on the floor, and you're going to do it too. And it's good. God wants you to do that. So there's times when we want to do that. But then holiness, that's the second one. Oh, and by the way, you come back out. Here's public worship. Here's edifying the brethren. Here's witnessing to the lost, which is 4, 5, 6, and 7. So you go in and you come back out. You don't stay in here. In fact, the walls fall down once you get in there. The curtain rips, the walls fall down, and you know, you just go back out. But on your way out, then you pick up these other things, which is public worship, and edifying the brethren. And that, there's a lot to all these. And then winning the lost, or saving the lost, or witnessing, whatever you want to say. But let's leave that alone for a minute. This is the part I'm interested in as disciples, not this. This, if you do these three, and even have a good understanding of them, the others are going to happen. Now, none of this could happen if you aren't born again. Then we're just putting on religion on people. Believe me, you don't have to be born again to do all this religious stuff. But it's not that you're going to know right away if you got the real thing, if somebody doesn't. You know, in fact, they won't even stick around. If you get into joy, the pagans won't even stay with you. It's too happy for them. Pagans can't handle that much joy. And really, they can't. Especially when you're saying Jesus. If you were saying Schlitz or something, maybe you could. But no, you're saying Jesus. You know, they after a while, they just think you're weird. So they're not going to stick around through this development. And when you get into holiness, they're not going to stick around. When you get into worship, they're definitely not going to stick around. So you don't have to worry about it. If you begin growing here, it's going to be obvious who the Christians are and who are not. Not because we're looking for that either. I'm not even talking about that. I just mean you're going to know. You will know if somebody's missing something. All right. So most of us, I would say, still are not here at stage one. But now then, I want to tell you something. We're not just interested in rest and in God loves you and so on and so forth. We believe that those who have this will automatically, without telling them to do it by an act of will automatically, they already from stage one start to do new things. You know, stop smoking, for example, and stop swearing and stop stealing and, you know, some obvious stuff. But it may take you 2 or 3 years to stay in stage one. That doesn't mean you never worship and you never do anything holy. It just means you're pretty low on the scale there. You know, that's okay. Don't try to grow up too fast. Like little kids, you know, too anxious to be three. You're two, you know, I'll be three, I'll be three. You know, well, you may want to be, but you're still going to be two until you're done with two. Well, same thing here. But then the next thing is holiness. And, boy, God doesn't want a people that are not holy. For example, is your word your bond? When you make a commitment, do you keep it? 33 men made a commitment. Look around. You know, we have 11 or 12 here today. That's about a third. Well, that means about, for two-thirds, it doesn't mean that much. Oh, maybe another third has an excuse, you know. My toothbrush broke this morning. I couldn't finish brushing my teeth. You know, one thing or another. But basically, the word doesn't mean anything. If your word meant something, you'd even call up. You know, when we first started this, people would call me up and say, I know I promised I'd be there. I cannot be there. I believe Dave has done this. I believe Dave has called me up and said, we're going to be out of town. Just wanted you to know. I appreciated that. I didn't ask anybody to do that. I just appreciate it. That shows Dave thinks his word is worth something. And I'd say that's true. I would say if Dave gave me his word, I would believe him. Whereas there's a lot of people who give the word, I know they don't mean it. It's not that they're bad people. It's just I know they've never understood this, and they don't understand this, that God expects you to be Christ-like. You know? In other words, I can do all things. That'd be the verse here. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And he's mostly talking about bearing all this fruit. You have to be holy before you can bear all this fruit. You can do it. There's, you know, you say, well, I can't get rid of this, or I can't throw that over. That's why we spend a lot of time on how to get rid of sin, especially besetting sins, those tough sins in your life that you can't get rid of. Spend a lot of time. What was the secret to this? It was not will. It was knowing God. The secret was 2 Corinthians 3:18. Beholding him. So again, all we're doing here is knowing God as unconditional love. Now we're knowing God as holy. I didn't say, you be holy. That's why people think I'm making it too good. They can't understand that, well, aren't you into holiness? Yeah. Well, you're too laid back. You're too casual. You're too easy. You just let God do it all. Yeah, I do it. I figure he's the only one that can do it. I don't help God. If I don't look holy, I don't try to look holy. I've never tried to be spiritual. I hope you recognize that. I am spiritual, but I've never tried to be spiritual. It took me years and years before I came out of the closet. You know, those of you who were with me in the beginning years ago would not have thought me spiritual at all, because I wasn't, and I didn't pretend to be. I've always been what I am. In other words, I figured that if God saved me, he knew who he was saving, and he knew all my strengths and all my weaknesses, namely all my strengths and weaknesses. And I didn't think I had a chance. So when I repented, I repented. So when he just said, I love you, I believed him. And then I sinned like mad. I did not, the day I was born again, I did not stop sinning. I kept sinning. And I did not make an act of will and say, I will not sin. You know, where I didn't, I didn't. Where I did, I did. And I just let God love me that way. But then I knew, though, that he was going to make me into his image because he said so. So I kept looking at him. I did not look at myself. I saw myself, but I just didn't pay attention to it. People would say, you couldn't be a Christian because you still do thus and so. Yeah, praise the Lord. Now, that's what I did. And I kept my eyes on Jesus, but I'm going to tell you something. I know that I have holiness. I know that I've changed. I mean, I'm not even into those things. They don't even tempt me anymore. All those things. But God removed every one of them supernaturally. I did not help him one bit. I did not make any effort. I did not discipline myself. I did not get up at 5 in the morning to do it. I did none of the things that evangelicals tell you to do. Yet, they all went from my life. That says something. And I found that to be true of others. Bill Noble, I think, could testify to that. Super evangelical. I think Neil could testify to that. In a not finished holy way, but he's got it. I know he's got it. He's on the road to this full holiness. And when you have that, that is that there's no besetting sins in your life. Now, I don't mean you never sin or fall. I mean they can't keep you. They can't hold you any longer. You're able to laugh, rejoice, get free, and then you're able to see him go. That's God. You can't be in the presence of God and not see the sin and then see it go. But it may take a while. So this here is by knowing the Lord. That's why we're not legalistic. I don't want people to look good. I don't want them just to, you know, talk nice and be two-faced. The third thing, and really, we could just stay right here for a long, long time on these two, because that's where we are as a church. You know, there's no need even to go on. I'm not even anxious that we're not saving souls or edifying the brethren with our gifts. You know, you notice I have not taught a lot on how to worship God and so on. We've touched on it and so on, but in a very light way, because we're not even here. What good is it to just have outer ritual? We could get worshipers. I mean, you just bring in Mike Hare, you know, or, boy, we can be worshiping that quick. But then you would think you were more spiritual than some church down the road. I'm telling you the truth. You would think you're very spiritual because you'll look spiritual. You can be saving souls like that. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. I'm just saying we have not earned the right yet. We're not even there. We're not even enjoying God ourselves. And sooner or later, you fill up this church with saved people and you don't have it, they're going to flounder. Let's just take our time. You know, when you have the joy of the Lord, I expect some of you men to jump up one of these days and say, I've got it. I see it now. Praise God, I've got it. Like Chuck. You know, when you do, we're just going to watch you, you know, dance, do whatever you do, and so on and so forth. I expect to see that. I have not seen that. Very few of you have stood up and said, you know, Pastor, I didn't even know what you're talking about in 3 years. I got it. I see it. Praise God. The Lord loves me, or some little simple thing. You say, this sounds simple, but Jesus loves me. You think, well, I already know that. You don't know that. I'll know when you know that, because all this other stuff will start taking place. You don't even know that Jesus loves me. And it isn't just all this other stuff. You may look good, but you don't have it. I'm what I'm saying really real? The answer is yes, it is. But you can't get a cheap, you cannot get a cheap victory. You have to pay the full price. And that's why we're discipling. Now, we're done. And yet, in a real way, I'd have to say, we should start all over again. Well, you know, we're not going to, but you need to be discipled. You need to come to me privately, or whatever you want to do, or call me up, or maintain a relationship with some other brother, find a prayer partner, or something. But you're going to have to grow. Now, when I say that, I'm going to talk about salvation. You don't need this for salvation. You can have this and not grow. God's still alone and safe. So if that's all you want, praise God. I just don't know what that's like, you see. Because when I got in, I'm going to close with this. I repented of two things. One, rebellion. I was a rebel. And I thought that rebellion would lead to happiness. In other words, I did my own thing. I did it the way I wanted. I did it when I wanted. I did it how I wanted. And I thought that would result in happiness. I repented of that. I said, you know, it's not leading to happiness. I am doing my own thing. I was not unsuccessful. I was successfully doing my own thing. I even could be a minister and do my own thing, which is amazing. That you could fool people. But I could. In fact, they even wanted me to. They loved it even when I sinned. They didn't even want me to be, you know, they wanted me to be holy for show. But when it came to marrying their daughter who was living with some guy in sin, they didn't want me to be holy. And that happened all the time. You know, then they wanted to bend the rules. And then when I said no, they didn't want it. But another group, and this is more the prevalent group, this is only 5%, but 95% need to repent, not of rebellion. Most of you have never been real rebels. Not real rebels. But most of you have been religious. And Paul said, I count that as dung. Most of you have never counted your religion as dung. That's why your mind, you still trust your mind, you still trust your will, you're still protecting yourself and so on. You never repented. That is, you've never seen that those things help you to happen. To be religious is to be right. Jesus says of that, you've got a righteousness, but it's not of God. It's your own. It's not. You need to get in. This, none of this is faith. This is natural religion. You need to repent of all religion, whether it's rebellion or whether it's doing it. You need to repent of all that. Because none of that is good news. Well, anyway, you can see here, you can just write in the other thing. This is worship. This is private worship. Private worship. Where you just really fall in love with the Lord. Revelations come and whatnot. You should be spending hours someday, but gee, don't do that now. I know you're not ready for it. I would be shocked if some of you said, you know, I spent 4 hours yesterday before the Lord. I wouldn't believe it. Because I know you haven't done this. Well, you might as a one-time shot, but you're not going to do that often. But every once in a while, you should. You should try to hang in there as long as you can in God's presence. Just worship the Lord and spend time. Now, I know Guy has been recently. He's beginning to develop in this area. But he's not ready to walk in that yet. He's still learning to walk in all of this. And the other's going to come, Dave. He's trying to work on holiness. It's never going to come because it's going to come from looking at the Lord, loving him where he is. When he rests on that, the holiness will come. Then the worship will even be higher. It'll be greater. Well, that's where, you know, where he's growing. He's almost there. Just about there. That's exciting. Because then that's a whole new way of thinking. Just to be comfortable in the presence of God. And revelation just pour out there. Then you'll have the unction and anointing, not just because of the word or some funny feeling, but you'll just know. It'll just be such a powerful unction that whatever Guy has seen, we know the Guy has seen tremendous things, it's just going to be 100-fold more. You've got the 30-fold, but it's going to be 60-100-fold. Why? Just because of the presence of God. He's going to be mighty because I know your heart is absolutely pure. I know that he did repent wholly of this. Now it's just a matter of getting it. That there's no resistance. I know he is in the world. I know this. But I know he hasn't got all this down yet. Especially here at Bilbo Lake. I know you need this more. I think Leroy's getting this pretty good. His first thing, that there's no condemnation. Am I right? I think he's getting that down pretty good. Then he's going to begin growing more and more in holiness and so on. Not by trying, but just by looking at Jesus. Then that leads to public worship. If you're not privately worshiping, it's going to be hard to whip it up on Sunday morning. That's why I suggest this couple of scriptures. Now don't be so holy. Don't be beyond yourself. And don't let the women always do it. You know, some of the men need to be doing it. I want the women to do it too. But after three or four things, we're going to quit. You know, we're not going to wait for everybody to give it like we have been. we're going to start closing it down. In other words, get in there right away. If you feel impressed that your word should be shared, share it. Then edifying the brethren, we've talked about
not women. There's a whole thing about the church. Not women in government leadership. That's one thing we said. Another is eldership, share, all that kind of stuff. Then another thing is the need for discipleship. All of that is structural or edification things. That's how you, with your gifts, with your fruits, with your ministries, with all those things that we have, that's how we build up the church. That's lacking in many churches. That's where Wesley blew it. And we can look at Luther and Wesley and all the people and see what they didn't have. But Wesley blew it right there. He kept bishops for one thing. That was ridiculous. He stayed in the Church of England to purify it. That was his mistake. If Wesley hadn't done that, if he'd have, like in America, they were going great, then he sent those stupid bishops over here. They were great people. But just to get the bishops, it's not New Testament. He knew it wasn't. I've read where Wesley knew it wasn't. But he was trying to stay in and see if he couldn't, you know, shuffle with the Church of England. I wish he hadn't done that. That's where he blew it. Because he had the gospel. He had the holiness. He had this thing down. Blew it there. So wherever you blow it, you're going to blow it. Then the last thing is, this is what it's all about, is saving others, bringing them in. You know, go back out of this temple and go out to the gate and say, come on in, repent. Preaching a gospel of repentance and forgiveness and good news and faith in Jesus and so on. Well, there's the whole thing as I understand it. And I don't believe it's being preached anywhere. But that doesn't mean it's not good. It's just that it could be better. That's the way I understand it. So people will misunderstand me always. Some will say this and some will say the opposite. It's just going to happen. But they did of Elijah and Jesus and Luther and anybody else too. So you're never going to do that. But you ought to get a hold of it. You ought to understand the fullness of it and just be what you are. If you're right here, stay there. Because most of us are. And if you're here, praise God. But once you get past this first one, if you could ever get past this first one, I know that's what Norman and Malcolm thought, that was going to work, but they are sadly mistaken. You have to preach these others. I don't stop preaching them. I just focus heavily on here, but I'm preaching at the same time the fullness. But lately, we haven't talked a lot about holiness. Condemn and scare a lot of people or get them into legalism. So we're back to God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you a lot in public. But to you ought to know the whole thing. Because you're under discipleship. If you gave your word, that's one thing as a new Christian. You ought to be able to keep your word at least. You will grow if you give your word and keep it. Many people don't have that. They can't do it. They've lied so often or they've lied to themselves that their word doesn't mean anything. Well, if you can't disciple a person whose word doesn't mean anything, I mean, that's just the base. Nonetheless, you know, it doesn't mean God doesn't love them, but, you know, they don't know how high they're going to go. And you've got to have some kind of discipline, some kind of base to it at all. I mean, I don't even know how you got saved then if your word didn't mean anything. You know, you at least ought to be able to say the truth to somebody. Say, you know, I didn't feel like going to church. That's the truth. At least I can trust your word then. But if you lie from the beginning, say, oh, I meant to go to church. And yeah, that's religion. If you didn't go, you didn't go because you didn't want to. You know, and so on. Or I came, but I don't really enjoy it here. You know, like Hans once said, I love it. You know, Hans got up and said, you know, do y'all love being here? I don't. Edmund Brown, yeah, I don't. Well, that doesn't mean they're mature. They're extremely immature. But at least they were honest. At least they weren't conning anybody. You know, whereas others might not want it any more than they do, but they either lie to the others or they lie to themselves, say, oh, of course I love being here, and they don't. You know, so I've always been honest with God. I find that if you'll be real, God will reveal himself to you. If you're a phony, you'll never get close to God. Let's close in prayer. Great.